Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It's the first Wednesday of the month. It has been for a long time our tradition and pleasure to talk about food and cooking on this day. And with the man we like to call our chef in residence, ladies and gentlemen, it's an unofficial title. But we have applied it to him for a long time here because he's come by and we've done this monthly show. We always have a good time talking about sometimes a key ingredient, sometimes a style of cooking or an approach to cooking. The theme is kind of loose. We don't necessarily insist that people stick to the theme because we do wander here and there. But the idea is that we talk about that and we exchange sometimes stories and cooking tips and recipes and, as I say, we always have a good time when he's here. This time around, he says he'd like to talk about cherries, maybe for a couple of reasons. One is that they're good for you, believe it or not, and have good things in them, but also because we're really at the time of year where we're actually starting to get now a lot of good cherries. So if you like them, it's the time to enjoy them, and they are flexible. You can do a lot of things with them. You can just eat them. They're good dried, and you can cook with them, and mostly desserts, I suppose, but maybe if people have some kind of application that's not a dessert, not a sweet thing, that's maybe a little bit different that uses cherries, you could certainly call in and tell us about it. Whatever is on your mind, 333-9455. That's the number here for Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
I was really surprised. I was noodling around a little bit on the web yesterday and looking at some information about cherries.
Uh-huh.
That is sort of surprised to learn that compared with many other fruits, mm-hmm. cherries are loaded with antioxidants.
17.
That, and I guess that there are some people who think that cherries can help with gout and with
arthritis. And I think I can speak to the gout.
So you think that
the arthritis is still painful, but arthritis is affected by other things. Mm-hmm. But I'll get into that story later. But I think that it does help. And then here's the strange thing. Have you ever heard about this? No,
I can't say as I have. Not until I went and deliberately started to
look. I have four friends who drink cherry juice every day. Two are in California, one's in Chicago, and one's here in town. I mean, you sort of, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, I've been doing that quite some time. And then I come to find out that fruit juices have become a very stock item for people looking for these variations. See, what I'm looking for is because, as you remember last month when I was here, I could hardly walk. It was really painful, and that was gout and arthritis at the same time. And if I were to take the gout pills, that's too much. And so the doctor wasn't pleased for me to take a lot of those pills, so I just didn't. Well, I started taking cherry juice about 2 weeks now. The very first day, it went away. I don't believe it, but, you know, I really don't believe it because I don't work that way, except the gout pain is gone. The arthritis pain is still there, and it slows me down and it makes me anxious, but we'll work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very – now, this came to me from – and that's one of the reasons I'm late. I couldn't find my magazine. You know, I rely on those magazines. I believe it was Eating Well. I think it was Eating Well. And the most recent copy, but somehow I couldn't lay my hands on it this morning. And it's all about cherries, all about cherries, all about cherries. And there was a little paragraph, one tiny paragraph in there that said, by the way, eating cherries is exceedingly good for gout and arthritis. And it didn't go any farther than that, saying that there is a substance in them called anthocyanins. Well, I'd never heard of anthocyanins. So I called some people in dietetics and such things, but of course I haven't received any answer from anybody because I don't think many other people know about it either.
Hmm.
But anyway, those are, and I then went to the dietary food store, the little store we have on John Street. And, oh, my goodness, yes, and out came a quart bottle of concentrated cherry juice, tart cherry juice, and then the fact that there are some pills that are made of the same material by the same people, and all of that stuff is made in Michigan, I think.
Well, isn't that also the place that's the big one of the biggest cherry
the
producers
biggest,
of
yes,
the, in the United
yes.
States?
So yeah. Here's the rest of my story, the happy part and the bad part. And that is, I went to IGA. Yeah, I went to IGA. I said, when are the cherries yet due? You know, it's awful close to the 1st of June. Oh, they'll be here Monday. So I went in on Monday and where are the cherries? Yeah, I got the cherries.
He's looking around.
$7.95 a pound because the entire cherry season was wiped out in Washington and Oregon. I said, what do we do? He says, you wait until the next season of the next growing area comes through. So that's one of the reasons. And it breaks my heart because, oh, I was looking forward to that first cherry. I was going to have cherries. And it just simply is not there yet. So we are short of cherries in this town. Well, in this country, because, as I say, they were all washed away, you know, during all those rains that they had. Mm-hmm. When the flowers would be doing it and the cherries would be, you know, it's all gone. So that disappointed me very much.
Well, we'll have to wait, I guess.
So there are other things that we get to do.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller
here
good.
To talk with. Oh, good.
Why don't we do that? And again, say the man here is the man we like to call our Jeff in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he's here once a month, always on the first Wednesday. We talk about cooking, pick a topic, and exchange stories and recipes. And this time around, he said, let's talk about cherries. So if you have a good recipe that involves cherries, give us a call, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. The caller to start us out is in Charleston in line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Hello there.
Doyle, this is Margaret in Charleston from the Tampa.
Oh, yes, Margaret. Yes.
And you stole my story.
I did.
With the price of cherries in Champaign-Urbana. I came down here and Sunday went into our local county market,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at the price.
And you couldn't believe it.
Which was about $4 more a pound than you said.
Oh.
So I bought 10 cherries, big cherries, and they cost me 23 cents a piece.
Oh, dear.
But they were good.
Well, I guess you slow down on the quantity when I hope you enjoy them because this is cherry time, you know.
Well, I know, and it's interesting that you said they were from Washington.
Yes.
I was curious because
yep.
I know Michigan has that, and then
Michigan has them, but they're later.
But also in today's paper, they said that the grape crop in Michigan and Upper Ohio Valley was hit by the extreme frost, and the grapes.
Oh, the grapes that
had been, you know, the winery grapes are practically gone. So, is that going to affect the cherries?
Well, I don't know. We'll just all the man said is sit and wait.
Yeah. I mean, they were good, but believe me, when I saw the price per pound, my eyes went.
Well, I was really disappointed too because I was looking forward to giving some intensive time to cherries because of you know how I deal with gout and arthritis.
Yeah.
So I guess we just do what we can.
Actually, down here, I think the price was $11.20.
My word. Well, that is $4 more than it was here.
Anyway, good to talk to you.
Yes, thank you.
Bye bye.
And you need to get back to weaving.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Yes. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, now I think that we're just going to have to watch for a special on cherries because no one's going to pay that kind of price for it. They're going to sit there. And then the people in the store are going to say, okay, we've got to do something to move these cherries because they'll just rot.
That's exactly it. The fellow here didn't even put them out. I mean, it was like, if you want, I'll go get them. I said, as much as I want them, I do not believe that $8 a pound is my value.
Yeah. It's cheaper than filet mignon.
Well, you know, they're, oh dear. You sound like Larry the Cable Guy. He was fishing for catfish and using shrimp as bait. And he said, what am I doing? Trying to catch a $2 fish with $7 a pound bait. He says, I threw the fish away and ate the bait.
Ate the bait. Well, yeah.
So, yes, you're right. It's cheaper than filet mignon. There are recipes. I decided that the cherry pie wasn't the only thing that could possibly be made, and I hunted up several different recipes, and I found a lot using fresh cherries, like salsas and different kinds of combinations, because that's been a very popular thing of recent is to involve fruit into salsas, and then I have a couple of those, and I couldn't find my favorite. Which is, I think we even talked about it once on this show, the Scandinavian Rudflud mit Glug.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not making it up, and I practiced it before I got here. It is a cherry soup, and it's eaten as first course, but it's cold. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is nothing more than some cherries dumped in and some sugar, and that's about all there is to it. But I don't have my recipe for that. I haven't looked at that recipe for years and years, but I always got a chuckle out of it because it's so hard to say. But it's somebody will have that recipe and they'll call it in, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
want to know a little bit more about it because it would be a way of eating fresh cherries or frozen cherries. Because frozen ones are just as good, and they're probably available much more.
And they're not going to cost you $12
a
pound.
They're not going to cost you $12 a pound, yeah. No.
Okay. Well, I was curious about things other than desserts because I did what I always do. I went to Epicurious, and I put in cherries, and it had a gazillion recipes, but they were all sweet things, and they were pretty much all desserts. And so I was curious about what other sorts of things that you could do.
Here is a dried cherry and shallot confit. And a sour cherry salsa, and Russian walnut cherry latkes with cherry applesauce from your source. I mean, these are your boys.
Yeah.
And then a sour cherry streusel pie, which I thought was pretty good. I did exactly what you did. Smoked turkey salad with Bing cherries and hazelnuts. Grilled pork tenderloin with fresh cherry chutney.
There you go. There you go. As I'm thinking, that perfect combination to put cherries together with some pork item. Very good. Okay. Well, we have some callers here coming in.
Good.
So why don't we talk with them? And we'll go next to someone in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a slight cherry suggestion and a big help for the Danish pronunciation.
Oh yes. Thank you.
It took me about 6 months to be able to learn it, but it's Ølgrød.
Again?
Ølgrød.
Oh, for heaven's sake, when I saw it written in the Time magazine, it was...
R-O with a slash through it D, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's red. And it's
red.
Danish is pronounced Ølgrød.
Ølgrød. Yeah. Ølgrød, yes. And then the next word?
Ølgrød.
Is that a G?
Yeah, G-R-Ø. I don't actually remember how it's spelled. I was so proud of myself being able to pronounce it. I kind of stopped.
Wood,
I got the spelling.
Quill.
Yeah, it's a kind of mush D that's up wood, against the top.
Quill. Yes.
If you can say that, the Danes know you can really speak Danish. If you can say "oi quill," then if you can say "mislupo," then you're really home free.
So that's Danish. I knew it as Swedish, but then so much of that is back and forth across the borders.
Yeah, it all kind of flows together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, it means red something with cream, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, gul is red. The gul is sort of a soup.
Soup, yes, red soup.
Mm-hmm. And the fleur is cream.
Okay.
Yep. And it's very nice.
Do you have a recipe for it?
Actually, I do. I hadn't even thought about the fact that I do. I have several Danish recipes, but my cherry suggestion was going to be cherries and cream cheese stuffed in a French toast.
Ooh.
Yes.
And cream cheese.
Yeah. You just, in fact, I was just looking at the recipe for it yesterday. You can put just canned cherries. Just
yes.
And sort of beat them into the cream cheese and then take a rather thick slice of bread and slit it and put that in and then make the French
toast. And make a French toast. Uh-huh. And so that would be melting on the inside and it would be sweet. I mean,
yes.
Fruity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very
cherries good. And cream cheese and French toast. Sounds
uh-huh.
good.
Uh-huh. Well, it's good. Well, this... I'll look again. I'll see if I can find my Willy Gloat and I'll give you a call.
Yes, please. Because that's the one I was missing today. I couldn't find that book either. I was very poor this morning. I went out with just a few pieces of paper.
All right. Well, I'll give a look and call you back.
Good. Thank you.
Well, great. Thanks. All right. Well, let's go on. We have someone here on a cell phone. This is our line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Doyle Moore.
Yes.
Barbara Peckham.
Barbara Peckham.
Hello.
And I just wanted to let you know that Jimmy Harris is the, well, James Burton
Oh,
Harris
James Burton Harris. Yes.
Is the Cherry Prince.
Yes. When was that?
And, you know, many, many years
it
ago.
It was many years ago, yes.
And also, wasn't that from, isn't he from Michigan?
Yes, he is.
Saugatuck.
He's in Saugatuck now, but I'm not sure if that was his home at the time. But he was a Michigan, a cherry prince.
Absolutely. And I cannot tell you how many various items that we have purchased over the years from our estate sales with cherries on them.
I know a couple that were given, yes. Glasses from the 1850s and 60s.
Right.
Yes,
but also, of course, Suzanne Skaggs has purchased many items for him also.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, anyway, that's my story.
Well, that's a good one. That's what that's what happens when you get famous. That's good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for calling. Thanks, Barbara.
Amusing.
We're talking here this morning with our man. We like to call our official chef in residence, Doyle Moore is his name, and for a long time has been stopping by here. On the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock, we talk about cooking and always have a good time telling stories and exchanging recipes. And this time around, because it's in part because it's the right time of the year, or it would be if conditions were more favorable, there would be good fresh cherries in the store. He said we could talk about cherries. Also because he's just said he's just recently been discovering some of the health benefits of cherries. And so that's a good enough reason. And they just taste really good, too. So if you can handle the price, you can go out there and you can get yourself some cherries. At 23 cents a piece, we could afford 5 or 6.
Well, that was it. Least. She got 11. Was it 11 cherries? I think she got, yes.
I bet they were good. She probably savored them. Just eat
well,
them.
Well, there is that quality. Yeah, there is that quality.
Let's talk with somebody else here in Urbana, line 1. Hello.
This question mainly goes to before you get to deal with the cherries, if you have them on a tree in your yard, you got to find a way to pick them.
Oh, yes.
I gave my husband a sour cherry tree many, many years ago and planted it on the north side of the house, and the tree grew so tall looking for light.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's really difficult to get at the cherries. And I must say that the birds and the squirrels they can't possibly have any gout because they get most of the cherries.
Yes.
So I'm wondering whether anybody has any suggestions for discouraging the greedy birds and squirrels and for actually finding some way to reach the cherries and get them down without risking life and limb.
Well, that I think is the greater problem. You could. I think if the trees are small enough, you can put mist nets over them that keep the birds from getting into, which is something you could, you know, a couple of you could do with some long sticks. You'd lift these mist nets over them.
And I tried that, and they got all tangled up in the branches. It wasn't worth the effort. It was just a total mess.
Oh, well, that's a possibility, too. I guess you can't get a stronger one that would be that you could fight off with that. I don't know. I know that some fruits, which are individual sizes, have a strange little wire container that looks like a light bulb guard upside down that you have on the end of a long stick, and you reach up but that's an individual fruit. I don't think that you shake a cherry tree like you do olives. I don't think you shake them. I think you do have to pick them off. So I don't believe I know a way.
My mother-in-law used to buy them in bulk from an orchard in north central Ohio, and they would pick them and they would pit them to your order. And she'd freeze them, and then she'd have them all.
Oh yes,
all season,
my.
All year. And my kids got used to. We would collect our allotment.
Yes.
And stock up our freezer, and our kids would just get out a little bag of frozen cherries, and let them thaw just a little bit, but then eat them cold and frozen, distinctly. And
that was a luxury.
Yes, and the orchard's now gone. Probably been developed and paved over and has houses on it.
My guess is that the orchard, the trees were not too tall, because when you're growing them that way a lot, they often chop them back, and they keep them big enough so that you can climb up on those little ladders.
Yeah, well, I put this tree in the wrong place. We've now planted another one, but it'll be a while before.
Oh, dear. Well, it may be a while before we get cherries again. Goodness.
There is somebody who comes to the farmer's market who I understand has, you pick them, sour cherries, but I've never been there. I have to ask around. Both her son and she have stalls at the Urbana.
I imagine it will be a little bit later in the season.
I would think so.
And I do think that there will be a time when we'll be able to get cherries this summer. But it's just right now it is not the time.
Piece of trivia, there was a program on WILL-TV about the contributions of Chinese Americans.
Yes.
To our country, and one of them was the Bing cherry.
The Bing cherry.
Developed by a Chinese immigrant.
He must have been in California.
Could be.
To begin with. I mean, that's where a lot of that fruit experimentation happens. No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay, take care.
Yes, right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. We're getting here close to the midpoint of the show. And it's our monthly program on cooking, and we're talking about cherries with this guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. So if you have a recipe to suggest, you can give us a call. Or you just want to say hi, that's okay, too. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I'm just noodling around here. It looks to me like there are probably a number of places where they make soups out of cherries, different approaches. It seems pretty much to be a kind of a central European thing, or perhaps a Scandinavian thing.
I think
too.
So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's talk with someone else here and go to Terre Haute over in Indiana, line number two. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, there was a lady that wanted to discourage the squirrels and the birds from coming in and eating her cherries.
Yes. Uh-huh.
A simple way to stop it, just charge the going rate. Thank you.
Simple economics.
That's right, and I mean it'll discourage them.
It certainly would.
It was just an idea.
Well, a fruitful idea, I would say.
Maybe it may be a way to make some extra money too.
Yes, and besides,
I'll hang up and listen.
All right,
okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I'm still inclined to think a physical barrier is still your best bet, but you know, see what works for you. Let's go.
You don't know what they've squirreled away.
That's the problem. We used to have a little peach tree in our backyard, and the squirrels would get them. Now, they would get them before they were ripe.
Oh, yes.
And they would sit there, and they would eat them, and they would look at you while they were eating them, and then they would leave the pit. as it's just the way of the squirrels. So it's just their way of, you know, giving you the bird, so to speak. Let's go to Champagne, line number three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
We had a cherry tree, a wonderful cherry tree, and of course the birds would get them. Then it just happened that a mulberry tree grew up at our neighbor's yard right behind us.
Yes.
And after it got a good size, then we had no problem. The birds ate the mulberries.
They preferred the mulberries, yes.
Yeah, they grow pretty fast, so you could plant one.
Well, I guess that would be companion planting, wouldn't it?
Right.
To save one plant to save the other.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting. I've wondered about that. I saw some mulberries the other day that were ripening.
Yeah, it really worked for us.
Well, that's interesting.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if you see this. We're now getting into some different territory, but I wonder if you hung something in the tree, something that would move with the breeze, that would catch the light, it would do something that it might spook them a little bit.
It does to some birds. They tie small aluminum pie pans.
That's kind of was thinking of something like that.
Something that will move and jiggle just a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Next time Sandy Mason is here, we'll have to ask her. I think that she's going to be here on the program next week, I think. Maybe she'd have some brilliant ideas. Or somebody else who is listening would. We have several calls here now. They're all from Urbana. They're probably all going to tell us about how to keep the birds out of your chair.
Well, let's do.
Line one is Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Well, one way you can keep the birds out of the trees is have grandchildren. My grandma and I grew up in Michigan, and my grandma had a big cherry tree. She called them oxheart cherries. They were the big,
ooh,
round, dark,
uh-huh,
juicy cherries, almost black. And we'd climb up in that tree. And as grandchildren, two or three of us at a time, and we'd clean it out. But we'd come down out of that tree looking like a bloody mess.
Oh, my, yes.
Those black oxheart cherries, they were so delicious. And they'd, mother would just hose us off before she let us in the house, clothes and all. My cousins and my sister and I would be in that tree most all day.
Oh, my, yes.
And, of course, we'd had buckets, but we were eating a lot of them, too. And we outdid the squirrels. Those great big, Grandma called them oxhearts.
Oxhearts,
but
yes.
Now I think they call them Bing cherries.
They might be.
They're
they might be the dark ones.
Almost black.
Yeah, the very dark ones, yes.
Oh, they're luscious.
Oh, well, that's quite a story.
Oh, yes. Grandma couldn't wait till we lived in Lansing, and we'd come to Grand Rapids to Grandma's house, and she couldn't wait till we'd get there. The cousins and my sister. And
I bet they liked every bit of that.
Oh, yes, they did. They wouldn't let us in the house till they hosed us off, clothes and all.
That's good.
We were bloody messes.
Oh, my. That's good. Well, thank you.
We got all the cherries. Okay, well, that's the only way you can beat the squirrel.
That's the only way, yes.
Grandchildren.
Well, thanks for the call. Thank you. And for the story. Thanks very
much.
That's
efficient as well.
Exactly. Now I really want a cherry now, boy.
See?
Okay, I may have to just go down there and spend a dollar and get four.
Or 23 cents and get one.
Yeah. Well, let's go to line number two. This is Urbana. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I just was thinking about my parents-in-law who have hung CDs in their garden to keep,
oh, yes,
keep critters away. So that might be something to consider. In
CDs flap in the wind too. Yes, and yeah. they're silvery.
And they would flash with the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And there are some CDs that are probably that's all they're worth.
Yeah. The free ones you get in the mail.
That would be it.
I was also kind of calling with an ethical question because we have a retirement home near us that has a cherry tree where nobody seems to be picking the cherries. And I've been picking them with my son a few at a time, but I'm just dying to go over there and fill up a big bucket. And I was wondering if you all thought that would be okay.
I would simply go to the people that own the thing and say, can we do this because they're going to waste, and that you would even be happy to share them with the inmates there.
Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely ask.
Yeah.
And they probably would say, if no one's picking them, they probably would say, sure.
Please,
as long as you don't fall out of the tree and
sue
them, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty short tree.
Yeah, I think that they would rather see them used than wasted.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to another Urbana person here, line number 3. Hello.
Yes, I'm back with the Rosgrød.
Oh, yes, okay. Good.
Yes, what I have found in my Danish cookbooks is that Rosgrød is generally doesn't have cherries in it.
Doesn't what?
Does not have cherries in it.
Not?
No, I have one recipe book in Danish and one, you know, a translated American version.
Yes.
And both of them are, the Rosgrød has currants, raspberries, black currants, strawberries. So it has a mix.
Oh, okay.
And it's cooked and then thickened. Was that
cooked and then thickened with arrowroot?
Yep, either cornstarch or sago. There's a variety of things.
Oh, yes.
And generally, it's cooked with cinnamon stick and half a lemon.
And no wine or flavors?
No, not in either of the ones that I have.
So you're getting sort of water and fruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Danish version has, and actually it has rhubarb in it.
Oh, my, that would
be
good.
Yeah, rhubarb, currants, and then three kinds of, I think that must be raspberries, strawberries, and I don't know what the solbærs are. And then sugar, just, you know, sort of to taste after you've taken that.
So then the cooking of this, it kind of softens the fruit a bit, doesn't it?
Right, and you actually, these appear to have all just, they strain the juice out, so it's almost like making jelly.
Huh.
And then they thicken it. So there isn't, none of them have any of the fruit pulp in at all. It seems a hideous waste.
Oh, my. Well, then when do you eat it?
After you cool it.
After it's cool. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you're eating cold, unset jelly.
Yeah, well, sort of mildly set.
Well, but, yeah, with a little bit of thickening.
Right, with a little bit of thickening.
How interesting.
It's not like soup.
Now, is that at the beginning of a meal or at the end of a meal?
It would be a dessert. The Rosgrød would be
a dessert. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there is a recipe here for cherry soup, but it's a simple. I mean, it's, you know, you boil the cherries with sugar, cinnamon, and lemon, and again strain the juice out, thicken it a little bit, and it says they serve it with small zwiebacks, dumplings, or croutons.
Hmm.
So that would definitely be a first course.
Well, that sounds interesting. I've never given it a try. I do remember it was probably one of the first Time Life International cookbooks.
Oh, right.
It's been that long ago that I got that, and I was just fascinated with it, and I thought, well, why and when would I want to eat this? But it's been in my mind for a long time.
Well, I will send you this recipe so you can.
All right, good. Thank you.
Yeah, there'll be, and I'll translate the real one, and then I'll get the one that the Americans have had their hands on too. So you
all right,
care.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Bye bye.
Right, thank you. Well, let's continue here, and the next person in line is in Aurora, line number 4. Hi.
Good morning. What a pleasant addition to the day.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I have two things to tell you.
Yes.
I have a recipe for a cherry raspberry pie. Have you mentioned that?
No, cherry raspberry, no.
It's very, very good. It's almost sinful.
Good.
It's a 10-ounce package of frozen raspberries, and I'm sure you can substitute the ripe.
Yes.
And 1-pound, 4-ounce can of frozen pitted tart red cherries, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, 3 tablespoons of cornstarch, and 1/4 salt teaspoon, and a few drops of red food coloring and a pastry. Drain the raspberries and cherries. Reserve the syrup. Add enough cherry syrup to the raspberry syrup to make 1 cup. Blend sugar, cornstarch, and salt in a saucepan. Stir in syrup and food coloring. Add cherries, currants. Cook and stir, overheat till thick. Stir in raspberries, line the 9-inch pie plate with pastry, add the filling, adjust the crust, and cut slits for the steam
to escape.
Then seal and bake in hot oven 425 minutes for 30 to 35 minutes.
425 for 35 minutes, yes. That sounds rather good, rather fresh.
And then it says, note, 2 cups of pitted ripe, frozen, ripe tart red cherries may be substituted for the frozen cherries.
Two cups, uh-huh.
And add water to red raspberry syrup to make 1 cup of liquid, to make the 1 cup of liquid that you need.
Well, that sounds pretty direct.
It's very, very good. There's nothing like a raspberry, is there?
No, there isn't.
No.
In fact, I would say, maybe we should leave the raspberries out of this time.
You know, the other thing I have to say is, after all these years, I'm moving.
You are?
I'm staying in the same town.
Okay, good.
But I'm moving about 15 minutes away.
Well, we'll just have to...
And you're still, I hope I get WILL.
Oh, I do too.
I will move back.
Good for you. Well, you have been more than faithful. I look forward to talking to you each time.
Well, thank you so much. And I am going to plant a cherry tree there. They, not only for the cherries for pies, but for the birds that
they bring. Oh, yes. Yep. They need them.
You just have to be a little faster than the birds.
That's what you do. And then smile.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for
the call. And count the species. That's what you have to do.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good.
We have about 15 minutes on the program here with Doyle Moore. It's our monthly show on cooking. This time, Doyle said, let's talk about cherries. And if you have a recipe, you can call and tell us about it. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Did you want to – I know that you brought a couple. You want to mention one or do
I'll mention the one that you got excited about.
I got excited about pork tenderloin, yeah.
Let's see. That's the call.
That's the one thing I was thinking that you could make some kind of a
Here's what it is. It's a fresh cherry chutney.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of interesting. I never thought – you know, we know about all those cherry pitters that you've –
Yeah.
Well, this is much simpler. To pit a cherry, place the flat side of a large knife on the cherry and press gently until it splits, and then take out the pit.
Well, that's the way that you pit olives, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I guess you do it pretty much the same way. If you don't mind, the cherry gets kind of mashed.
Now let's see. Here is the cherry chutney. 3/4 of a cup of cherry preserves. That would be one that's already cooked with sugar and such things. 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 3/4 of a teaspoon of ground allspice, 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, and 2/3 of a cup of chopped onion. Then 2 cups of fresh cherries pitted, and 1/4 of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. That sounds pretty cheery.
Mm-hmm.
I should think that the balsamic vinegar and allspice, and then the sweetness of the cherries, and then the sharpness of the onion would make a very good chutney. Now, that's a fresh chutney. So all you do it's fresh, but it is boiled for about 8 minutes. Heat oil in the skillet and add the onion and saute, and then the cherries and cayenne and the preserve mixture. Then boil it until thick for about 8 minutes, season it with salt, and set it aside. And you're going to have that with a grilled pork tenderloin.
That sounds really good. In fact, it also sounds to me like it would work as an alternative to your cranberries with roast poultry.
Roast poultry.
With turkey, I think that would probably just be
very
nice.
Well, a fresh cherry chutney, I think, might be pretty swell with ham.
Yeah.
I am fond of ham. And I believe there is a cherry sauce covering that is used in ham, something like that. I've pushed it a little bit, and I get grape jam and make salami sandwiches with grape jam. There's only one person that will let me do that.
That's a little... As my father would say, that's a bit extreme.
It is a little bit extreme.
All right. Let's go to Champagne, line 1. and talk with someone else. Hi.
I just wanted to give you a testimonial on the tart cherries. I've been using the pills, the little capsules.
Oh, yes.
For about 2 years now.
You have.
And the doctor told me 2 years ago this summer that he'd replace my knee any time.
Hmm.
And I've been surviving on the tart cherry capsules, alfalfa tablets, and yogurt.
Well, good for you.
And those three things, if I miss one of those three things for a day or two, my knee starts to hurt. But as long as I do all three things, I can walk and do pretty much what I need to do.
Well, I'm looking forward to that myself. I've just sort of begun this.
Yeah, well, I have to say it works, and I've got several friends who, well, the friend who put me onto it, walking around with terrible arthritis, but he said it gets him out of bed in the morning. He takes his cherry juice. I went to the capsules because they have no calories.
Well, not that this is confession time. I'm doing both. Hey, if cherry juice is good and cherry pills are good, then take them both.
Right.
It's half of the dose of either one of them.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm looking at my bottle of Cherry Flex fruit supplement made with whole fruit.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yep.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
You inspire me.
Brick in the wall.
Well, you inspire me to keep going because I sort of, The gout went away very quickly, but the arthritis is hanging on.
Yeah, it really, really does help. And the yogurt, one of those little things of yogurt with the live cultures.
Oh, yes.
That once a day or every other day I can get away with, but every day is good. That really helps. And then I take 6 alfalfa tabs every day.
Mm.
So hope it helps you.
Thank you.
Getting me through so far anyway.
Well, I'm surprised at how many people are involved with this. Like I said to David earlier, I never heard of this before, and all of a sudden I have a whole lot of people that are involved with this. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, bye-bye. Thanks for the call. And if somebody else wants to call in here, and particularly if you have a recipe or something cherry-related that you would like to share with us, you can do
that.
Well,
as I say, this was just a tiny this was less than 3/4 of an inch in that article. And, boy, it just jumped right out to me because they're talking about all the values of cherries. I will tell you – I will tell you one new thing. Oh, it sounds like a commercial. In the article, it was telling how awful maraschino cherries are because they are chemically bleached and chemically colored and chemically everything. And the author of one article said they're as close to an embalmed corpse as you can get.
Ooh.
It didn't. And so I'm saying, but what'll I do for my Manhattans? But anyway, there's an answer. Maraschino cherry use has gone down considerably, and because I think that most people just don't like all of that chemical mess, and that a place in Oregon is making a maraschino-like cherry. It can't be called that exactly, and it is all done with viable live things, fruits and such, colored with carrot juice, and doesn't have all of that, as he said, ethanol put into it. And it is sold by Trader Joe.
Good stuff there.
So if you want to get some good maraschino cherries that are palatable and probably aren't going to be as potentially dangerous, then Trader Joe will have them.
That's actually, I think maraschino sort of, when I was a kid, sort of put me off cherries. And I'm not sure why it is. I probably my exposure to actual real fresh cherries was sort of limited, because I think it was sort of only when later on when I was an adult and, you know, someone gave me a real cherry with a little stem on there that
would
come off a tree. And I tasted it and I thought, wait a minute,
this is not the same thing.
This is not the same thing.
No, it's not.
Why wasn't I informed? Why didn't you give me one of these before?
They were fooling you with the stem.
I don't know. There was something about that. Yes. So those candied cherries is, it's no good. But dried cherries, now that's also
dried
a very
cherries
nice thing
are
too.
Very good. Yep.
Very nice thing too.
Because I like to bake with dried cherries. And goodness, I haven't made any muffins for quite a while. Mm. I guess I'll have to do that too.
333-9455. That's the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455 if you want to give us a call. Is there another recipe?
I don't know. I was wondering.
This is maybe I just mentioned, we've talked about this before. If people do have internet access, there is this website that Doyle got some recipes from, and I have used it and I have mentioned it before that I think is really good. It's called Epicurious, Epicurious, and it has recipes there that have been published in a lot of the big cooking magazines, and you can get them for free. And all you have to do is you can do a recipe search and you can type in some keyword or some term. So if you're looking for recipes with cherries, you can just type in cherries and it'll give you 400 different recipes or other kinds of things as well. So if at some point you're looking for a recipe, or if what's interesting is it you can see different variations on one particular thing. You can say, I want to make this particular dish, and then you can put it in there, and then maybe it will give you 20 or 30 different things so you can pick and choose about maybe there's something about one recipe that you like and something about another recipe. So you can move things around, or you just see different approaches to the same dish. Then it's really nice. It's a nice resource. So is there one you want to mention?
Well, yes. I think that this might be a reasonable one for the summer coming up. Rice and lentil salad with orange and dried cherries. So, you almost got that one figured out, rice and the French green lentils, and then some chopped shallot I would like a red onion. And red wine vinegar and lemon juice and one orange. And it only takes a third of a cup of dried cherries. One of the things I don't want to do too much cooking with dried cherries is they're very sweet, because in drying them, they concentrate a whole lot more, and they put some sugar in it. But I think a third of a cup isn't going to bother anybody. And then olive oil and flat leaf parsley. So that sounds very much like a Eastern European or kind of summer salad, which I think would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That it does sound good. And I'm thinking
orange
that there was
dried cherries.
Something we made in our house last summer that was some kind of a rice salad, and now I'm not even sure I remember what it was. All I remember was that it was really good and that it actually worked as a main dish. I think we had some other things to go with it, but it was very good.
Well, when you come to that, there is nothing like the Silver Palette Lady's nutted wild rice.
Well, yes. This is one of my wife's favorite things in the entire world.
Isn't it true?
The nutted wild rice. We actually have that a lot as a side, pretty much. And
yeah.
It's always at Thanksgiving, we always have that. And other times, if we're maybe going to roast a chicken, or this past winter, several times we roasted turkey breast, and we discovered a technique. I don't know if we made this up or we stole it from someplace, that if you take the turkey breast and you oil it up really nicely and you put cheesecloth over it as you roast it, and then periodically you continue to baste it, it won't dry out, and that you'll have something good that you'll be happy about having. And that works really well for us, because then you don't have to so much mess with the carcass. And it's not an enormous amount of meat. Anyway, that would be one of the times that she'd say the nutted wild rice. Yes, it's a good thing, that nutted wild rice, Helen. Yes, it's very nice.
And I can't speak too much. As you can guess, I have just recently found out how to get to Trader Joe's in Indianapolis. They have good packages of wild rice cheaper. So when you're over there picking up the maraschino cherry, get a little dried rice.
Yeah.
And while you're at it,
Well, we're maybe about the time we need to fold our tent and steal off into the night here for this time around. Will you be here in July next month?
I'm pretty sure I will be.
Okay. And if people want to drop us a line, we'll see if we can get you some of the recipes that we have done from the program this morning.
Yes, and thank you for everyone that called in.
Well, and thank you for being here.
Now I know what cold fruit soup is.
I still can't say. I'm not even going to try.
I was going to say, I'm not so sure that I will run out and do it, but now I know more. Now I know again for sure why I probably didn't before. Mm-hmm. But three or four major cultures can't be wrong. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the
doubt. Now, if the price of cherries will just come down, we'll all be very happy.
That's it. Right. That's it.
Doyle Moore, he's the man we like to call our chef in residence here on Focus 580. He's on the program once a month, the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock. We talk about food. And thank you very much.
Thank you.